Welcome back, guys, to a brand new episode of Infinite Weekly, an extension of the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. Here on Infinite Weekly, we have discussions, we have gaming news, gaming rants, raves, we got it all. And today, we are once again stepping into the world of Dead Space with the new Dead Space remake. And what better person to have it on the show to help us once again unpack the greatness that is Dead Space with Jake, also known as Jakku. Jake and I did an episode on the original Dead Space before, and if you have not checked out that episode yet, please do. It was an awesome episode. It was an awesome time talking about Jake's filming background, gaming history, and of course, talking about the original Dead Space and all of its glory. So, does this remake hold up against the original? How good is this remake? We're gonna find out today on the show. Jake, welcome back, bro.
What's going on?
Oh,
to be here again.
So great to have you. That last conversation we had was amazing. I just want to start off the show by saying this, because before we did the first episode, I had not watched, I'm going blank right now, the movie, The Thing. The Thing. After we did that show, I watched The Thing, bro. That movie was amazing. It was so freaking good, man. I was at the edge of my seat the whole time, man. So first, I want to say thank you for being on the show. And then second, for pushing me to watch that movie, because it was phenomenal.
Oh, dude, yeah. That is hands down my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, man.
I don't think I can state it enough, how well John Carpenter highlights, the human condition under in a stressful environment like that. And on top of that, he keeps it so ambiguous as to who's the first person to get turned. So in the beginning, you think it's Norris. You think it's Palmer. You can't tell.
You can't tell.
Shadow of somebody, you know? And then in the end, it's leaves so open-ended. You're like, oh, wow, Childs could.
He could easily be the thing. Yeah, the thing. Yeah. Oh, man. And there's been so many debates throughout the years. I'm still not sure. There's the debate where somebody was he was drinking the gasoline, I think it was. It was in a bottle. Something about the gasoline theory that he drank it, and if the thing drank it, then you knew he was the thing. I don't know, bro. It was just
it's just so good. I think that's one of my favorite things about John Carpenter as a director and a producer, just a storyteller in general, is he leaves breadcrumbs in places for people to pick up and start to make the solution for themselves as to what's going on and why it's happening. It doesn't feel when a story's happening and they're very clearly going, yeah, this is the bad guy, he very clearly just leaves the breadcrumbs for you to pick it up, piece together yourself. That's the beautiful thing, because now it's the mystery is maintained, and he lets your imagination run wild. Because I think that's the thing with horror, is things are only as scary as long as you let your imagination run wild.
Oh, perfect.
When it's brought up and you can see it for yourself, it loses that fear factor, because you're oh, I already know what it is.
Perfect. Duh. Yo, yep, exactly.
No,
that is a very, very good point to bring up just so early on, because going into the remake, we're both veterans. We've played the original Dead Space. And were you worried when they announced this?
Oh,
this,
yeah, for sure.
I was scared too. I was because the original holds up so well, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, dude.
You go back to playing that version of the game now, and it's this is still really good. The controls, the graphics, everything is good. So when they announced this new one, I was damn, they better not fuck this up, man. This is a classic right here. So one of the first things, and it's good that you brought it up, is the fear factor, right? Because I was I already know what's going to happen. You get what I'm saying? You walked into the game, you was all right, I know the story, I know what's going on, something's going to pop up here, but I don't know. But when I first started playing the game, I was a little bit scared. Not scared, but I was yo, did the lights just go off? Did that used to happen in the original?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Did you feel that when you first turned it on and started playing?
Yeah, so when I first started playing, I know one of my major concerns going into the game was I know they were talking about, like, they were designing this AI that would work in the background of the game.
Yeah.
Like Intensity Director.
Right? Yep.
And I was like, oh, dude, dope. Like, does this mean that the Necromorphs won't all spawn from vents? Because that would be tight. Because that's one of the things, you know, playing the original Dead Space. You're like, oh, there's a vent there. There's a vent there. They're going here. I got this, you know. Set your traps. But what I loved about this game was the Intensity Director never... Like, there are set spawns for some enemies, but, like, it never felt like it was the same thing. And I've done, like, 4 or 5 playthroughs so far. And I, like, every time my playthroughs had, like, very different moments happen because Necromorphs weren't spawning in certain areas. There would be one behind me and I didn't even know. There were just things that were happening where there was a moment where I was in hydroponics and I had, like, just like got to the area with the Weezers. You know, I don't want to talk too much about that. Just for spoilers for anybody. But the Intensity Director spawned 3 exploders on top of me. And this was on my impossible mode run. This was one of my deaths. There were 3 exploders around this corner. Like one was placed in the far, one ended up being behind me, one was on the left side. And then there was like an enhanced slasher. And I saw was the slasher, so I'm fighting him, and then I hear that, you know, and then I one blew up on me. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm at half health. Then the other blew up on me. I'm like, I'm gonna die. And then the third one blew up.
Yo, that's a whole clip.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what am I supposed to do about that? You know, but it was cool because of like it instilled in me a sense of like, wow, I really am not safe. Even though I know what I'm doing and I played the first one and, you know, shoot a leg off, shoot an arm off, they're dead, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it wasn't like that, or I didn't get the space to even make that situation happen where I could sever a leg, sever an arm, kill a necro, right? They really dialed it up to 11 with like keeping the necromorphs like random. And that randomness like is what bred this like level of anticipation and sometimes even anxiety, like
fear, bro, for real. Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm gonna be in. Why am I? I don't even need to go here. I'm going back for a power note that I saw. Why am I doing this, man? Yeah. And then like there's a pregnant, and then there's another exploder and a slash,
bro. And that's when I first noticed it too, because I liked that they changed the security thing. So I got my like level 2 security thing on the rig. Mm-hmm. To open stuff. I was like, yo, I remember this room. Let me go back. And when I went back, there was like 3 like regular necromorphs. I was like, yo, I cleared this room. Like, what's going on? And then like I started to like realize, I'm like, yo, like, wait a minute. There's more people. Like, there's more things happening. And then I had to like do a little bit of research. I'm like, yo, I'm not bugging. Am I the only one experiencing this? So it was really cool to feel that. You're exactly right. Like, I was scared that I wasn't going to be scared anymore. I was just going to play through the game. But one of the things that I felt when I first started playing, besides the whole fear factor, was like, I kind of felt at home at the Ishimura, you know? Like, when I first booted up the game, and I'm like, all right, like, this is my home. This is my shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you felt that way about the environments, the you know, the tone, the language, just the whole setting in general, right? Like, to be back up there, I was like, wow, man, like, and back then, I thought it was amazing. But the way that it looked now, I was like, damn, this is good. This is like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I don't know what you thought about all that. What you thought about the graphics and, like, the way the characters vibed and all that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I got to say that Kendra and
Hammond, right? Yeah.
Kendra and Hammond had, like, way more character development.
They did. Yep.
You know, like... From the minute the game starts, you can already see that there's like a little bit of tension. Kendra and Hammond, right? He's like, you know, oh, she's like, oh, you're looking my name through the, you know, the security detail, da da da. And he's like, oh, we'll never be too sure of like who's with us, da da da. It's like, okay, And what's really cool is that they keep it you know, you play the first game, you know Kendra, you know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And you know that she doesn't like Hammond. And, you know, in the first game, he brings up, you know, she's blocking my security signal. Mm-hmm. She's blocking my calls to you. But they don't do that in the remake. And they kind of leave it, like, up to the player to kind of piece that together. Because, like, every time he tries to speak, he gets cut off. It's like, you know, and they don't bring it up, but it's kind of like, all right,
something's up.
She's pushing the button.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. She also, there's a point where, I don't know if she did this in the original, but she's kind of implying that Hammond is up to something. That like, he's like, oh, well, how do you know about the marker? Like, aren't these people like up to something? And then like, in the whole scene, Isaac is like, yo, chill. We got to figure stuff out. Let's leave that stuff outside. We about to die. Can we focus? And I was like, oh, yeah. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. I don't know if it was like that in the original where she tried to divert the attention to Hammond.
I think she brings it up, but it never goes into the same direction as it does in the remake, you know?
Right, for sure.
They never end up at each other's throats the same way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What'd you think of Isaac overall?
Oh, man. Let me tell you. Isaac is, like, one of my favorite characters in gaming.
Oh, yeah. Because,
dude, that just, he just has it so rough, and he's just a guy, man.
Oh,
he's
dude! Just, like,
he's got that Spider-Man effect where it's like, you know, like anybody under the mask can be Spider-Man, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's supposed to be like relatable because he goes through like the things that we all go through in life, you know, stress, anxiety, you know, you lose his loved one.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying mm-hmm. to balance like his life, you know, and he's got this crazy responsibility thrust onto him. And he's just he's a kid growing up into an adult trying to figure out life, you know, in itself. Mm-hmm. And it kind of plays into Isaac too, where it's like, dude, at every turn, like he's just an average dude who's like had unfortunate things happen to him. And that's so relatable.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And the way he's trying to figure out his problems, like, all right, well, I got to do this and I got to get there. Yeah, totally. Totally. Good point.
You know, and like Isaac is quite literally just like the rest of us, you know, someone who's like going through the ups and downs of life and just mm-hmm. happens to find himself in the worst circumstances like imaginable on the year's G's from Earth.
Oh,
and I just something about that where I'm like, dude, this guy is like, he's just a dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that's so cool. I love when I feel like my character is like so relatable, 100%. even though he's not talking, like, I mean, even though he talks like in the remake, and I know the whole silent protagonist thing is to sort of be able to put ourselves in his shoes.
Right. Yeah.
Felt like I was able to do that because he's relatable.
100%. I mean, like he gets frustrated. I another point that I want to bring up too is like his parents. I don't think they mentioned his parents in the original, and in this one, they mentioned his mom and the background with Nicole. Right? Was that a thing in the original?
So it's like it's delved into like very briefly in a book. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's brought up very, very briefly, and then there are a few lore tabs in one of the games. Maybe the first one, maybe the second one, I'm not totally sure. But they do mention that, like, you know, Isaac's mother got into Unitology, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and if you don't know, you know, Unitology is based on Scientology. The church literally functioned the exact same way. You know, you buy your way up the ranks in this church.
Oh, interesting. You know? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It works almost the same way. In return, the church gets something from you, you know, and in the case of Dead Space, they get your remains upon death.
Right.
You know, like, mm-hmm. all familiar remains, that's theirs. They'll help you, like, you know, go up in the rank of church, you know, get more notoriety, you know, have more influence.
More respect and all that, yeah.
More respect, yeah, more opportunity.
Wow, and that's crazy.
It's just crazy to, like, see it actually in the game and then to hear Isaac talk about it as
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's, like, one of the very big mysteries of, like, the first game is, like, how we know they're broken up, mm-hmm. Isaac and Nicole, right? But like, how? What happened? You know, they never delve into that. And I love how it's like she was involved
in
family's like saving from the church, you mm-hmm. know? Like, that is so cool. Like, because they set up the main antagonistic force for the series early, you know, Unitology,
yeah,
marker.
Yeah,
they set it up early, you know, and that's great.
Oh man, no! And speaking of Nicole, what did you think of Nicole's character in this game compared to the original?
I felt like she had way more of a role this time around, right?
Mm-hmm,
like
she mm-hmm.
was also trying to piece together like what was going on with the marker.
Yeah,
like yeah, like
yeah. There was like holograms, more files with her, more audio files with her. Yep, yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, I felt like she had like way more of an impact on the overall story, as in like. She's trying to unpack what the outbreak is and what the marker is and the necromorphs. Like, what are they? How does this happen? You know, the what, how, and the why. Mm-hmm. This whole issue that the game revolves around. And she also ends up being slightly relatable in that front, because we're also trying to figure it out as, like, you know, the people holding the controller.
Yeah, as we go along. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that she was way more unpacked as a character. Like, I felt like they did a pretty good job on that front.
Yeah, I also agree with that, too, because I liked listening to her dialogue. Because, again, I'm going back to being a new player and an old player, right? Because as an old player, you kind of... Why you go into these experiences again, you kind of want to go over details that you didn't see the first time. Or maybe something new that you missed. So when I was playing, I was like, all right, I know some of the backstory, but let me listen in on something else that I probably missed, something else. But as a new player, you're going along with Nicole. You're like, yo, what? Like, I'm very interested. Like, yo, where are these things coming from? Why do they act the way that they do? You know, and I think that role, like, for new players as Nicole, I think that was perfect. I think that the way that they did that to kind of tell you what's going on through Nicole, it was awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I think another character that seriously, like, was, like, way better this time around, which is very rare to see in, like, a remake of all things, is, like, you know, the original is, like, always so highly regarded, you know?
Oh, like, for sure. That's what I was scared for Isaac. I was like, because I liked Isaac's in like 2 and 3. So I was like, were they going to bring the Isaac back from 2 and 3? Or were they going to, like, bring a new one? But who else? Who was the other character?
Mercer. He was done very well.
Yeah.
Like, one of the... I love the original Dead Space, but one of the things that I definitely is, like, not necessarily a complaint, but more of, like, a criticism, was, like, a lot of the things with Mercer happen on a VidCom, right? Like, you're seeing a video image of him rather than being in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it has less impact, you know, like what happens in the end with him, you know, the whole sequence with the hunter.
Yeah, because you don't really care. But, like, you haven't, like...
Yeah, you know? But, like, when you first meet him, it is very up close, it's very personal, and it's like, wow, okay, this is, like, super tense. Because he's got you in a situation where, like, he can just straight up kill Isaac, and he doesn't.
Facts. And yeah,
some people might be like, oh, plot armor, you know, whatever, but, like, that was done so well. It just, like, highlighted the manipulative nature of the character, how far off the deep end he's gone, and that he knows more than anybody right now.
Yeah.
Even the player, you know? Yep. That one was so good.
No, I highly agree with that, because, like, he does this stasis thing, right? He, like, he freezes you, and you, like, you can literally feel his breath on you. I'm like, yo, I don't like you. Like, already from the get. Like, you know, and you're talking shit to me, you know? Yeah, like, I'm like, no, this ain't going to fly well. And you're right, because in the original, he, like, I remember him being, like, in another room. Because he kills, what's his face? The other guy.
Jacobs.
Jake, right? He kills him in the other room, but in the original, like, you see it from, like, across, like, I don't know, it's like in a room, but you see it. But in this one, like, it's more intense. Like, it's in your face. So with, you know, I guess he uses, like, the nail gun on him.
Yeah.
You know, blows his brains out. I'm like, damn, like, that.
And the guy's in stasis, so, like, it's like an even slow, he feels all of that. Like, it's not even like an instant death. He's feeling it go through his skull. It's
Oh, fuck. But, and then another thing, and now that you brought up those scenes too, there was, the biggest scene that really was, I was like, holy shit, I love this so much, was when, you know, the infector, I think is what it's called, that infects the bodies.
Yep.
And you first get into that room, I think it's in chapter 2 or something like that, when you first see it. Yeah. What did you think of that scene?
Oh, dude, I loved it. I loved it. Because, like, as a kid, I remember, like, the original game came out, what, 2008, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I played it as a kid when I first got my PS3 in 2009. That moment was so particularly, like, eye-opening for me as a kid playing the game. I was, like, what, 12 or something like that? When you first see the infector turn, you know, Captain Matthias' dead body into the enhanced slasher, it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is not cool. I don't like this. I don't like any of that. And then it scurries away, and you have the slasher to deal with. And you're like, what? You know, so, like,
yep.
I wanted to recapture that sense of like, oh damn, like this is happening, you know? And they did that so well. Even though it was like a cutscene, which originally when I had heard that it was gonna be a cutscene, I was like, ah, oh, man.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
But it was still like so up close and seeing him turn into the slasher, like the sinews tearing, the blades coming out, guts spilling all over Isaac.
Oh, you know, perfection.
It is so cool. And then you get to see how resourceful Isaac is too, because even though he's on the floor, he kind of looks around, he sees the fire hydrant next to him, and he uses kinesis to slap
it. Bro. Like, oh. Dude. And I am so glad that you bring that up, because that scene, it does two things. Again, for I keep bringing this up throughout this whole thing. For the new player, right? One, it shows them like, yo, these things are going to turn dead bodies into more enemies. You better kill them. That's what, you know, that's the first thing that this scene establishes. The next thing that that does is it literally shows you that you can use fire extinguishers against the enemies, you know, or like things around you against the enemies with, you know, your kinesis. And like, and when I first saw the scene, I'm like, I was so enthralled with the whole, you know, the scene. I'm like, oh my God, this is beautiful. But then when I saw it again, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He used that fire extinguisher. And then you notice that there's more fire extinguishers throughout the, like the map and stuff like that. So, you kind of like, now there's an argument I want to get into later on, but just bring me back to that. But you start to see them and you start to use the things around you because they want the player to know that, hey, listen, you can use things around the area to dispatch your enemies. But also watch out for that thing because you're going to make more enemies. Because then when you wake up, and this happened in the original too, you were fighting the enemy, right? You were fighting. But then the infector is infecting other bodies. So by the time you finish the first one, there's three more that spawn, you know? Yeah. But in this game also, it has the same effect where like there are certain rooms with the infectors. Like if you don't get rid of it, it spawns more enemies. And I just thought that that whole setup, it's beautifully done. And that's what I love about remakes. And that's what I want remakes to do, is to like really flesh out and explain and, you know, just clean things up that the original, you know,
enhance the original experience.
Yeah. And that whole scene, there was like a couple moments in the game where there was like a couple scenes. But it didn't take you away from the whole experience, right? Like,
no, not at all.
Not at all. Yeah. And then another thing. So we're moving on to ways to dispatch enemies. So what'd you think of the guns?
Okay. dude. So I know one of my main things was, in our last conversation that we talked about this, I was like, something I loved about Resident Evil 2 was that the zombies, bro, they like took so many bullets to kill sometimes. Like, what the hell? You know, like, but that's awesome because it made my guns feel like Dookie. You know? And I really felt like there's four zombies in that hallway. All right, whatever. I'll find another way. I'm not going to go this way, you know? And that was my worry for like Dead Space coming back, was that like, oh, the guns might feel too strong. Da da da. The Necromorphs probably going to be too weak.
Yeah.
But the peeling system. Ooh, does something so nice, which is it gives a level of like tankiness to the Necromorphs, because they don't really get staggered until like you really start to get through the meat of whatever limb you're shooting, you know?
Yep.
And that's cool. Sometimes they'll just walk at you, man, and it's fast. You're like, dude, slow down, bro. Like, you know? Yeah. I felt like even though the guns are definitely the strongest they've ever been in this game, I felt like I didn't mind it because the intensity director would constantly change things up where I'd get like six, maybe seven Necromorphs back to back, you know, like on top of me, or, you know, the Necromorphs I would be dealing with would not care about like me severing a limb or shooting them at all. They just push me, you know, and I'd be like, all right.
They come at you. Yep.
Yeah. Because let me be real, what gun is it? There's the force gun, there's the line gun, and then there's contact beam.
Yes,
those guns are ridiculous. And
the
plasma cutter. I remember in the original, the plasma cutter was really good.
Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, solid workhorse weapon, gets the job done, easy to maintain, good ammo.
Yo, I noticed that too. I was like, because when I started shooting the line gun, it was like, well, for me, it felt like a little weaker. Same thing with the plasma cutter. I don't know if it's the same experience, but continue.
Yeah. When I maxed out the plasma cutter, though, dude, that gun is absurd. I don't know what they were thinking, because after I got this last upgrade, I was like, oh wow, this is not okay. You know? the last upgrade lets you, whenever you melee, it is a guaranteed on the floor knockdown on whatever necromorph you're hitting. So whenever I saw the hunter, I would just punch him and he'd fall on the floor. And I was like, all right, I don't need to shoot anything. So I was running around the whole map just punching. Yeah, dude, it was so good, you know? And then even some of the other guns, like the line gun felt weak at first, but then when you start to really upgrade the alternate fire, you realize that it's like hella broken.
Yep.
One bullet for one of these laser mines, and you can just put it on anything. It's like walking around the map with a chair. With this laser beam on it, and I was just pointing at things, and they were dying. And I was like, "Oh, dude, this is so
sick." But I love that though. That was so awesome to figure that out, piece that together, that you could do that. Yeah,
so cool. Yeah. The contact beam too. Like, I remember the original. The contact beam did not feel good.
When I first shot the contact beam and it shot like that whole laser, I paused the game and I was like, Damn, this shit is beast.
Yeah, dude, I would pull it out, the big fucking gun, you know? I remember the first time I used the alternate fire, it was on a brute, you know, and I got behind him and I went, boosh, you know, the leg just came off. I was just joking around. I didn't think that the leg was going to come off in one hit. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, this is not okay. And I did it again. I was like, oh my God, wait. They done something horrible. This is insane.
Busted, bro. Busted.
Busted.
Yo.
Dude, the final boss is hanging me upside down. I mean, I'm in the air and I'm missing all my plasma cutter shots. I went, fuck this. And I pulled out the big gun and I just, boom. You know? That was the end of it.
Yo. Funny. I love this conversation here because it's definitely one of the big things that I wanted to talk about is that, you know, it has to do with difficulty, new players and all that stuff. So, what you thought of the I think it's the Ripper, the chainsaw looking thing.
So
here's a funny story. So I was going around the internet kind of seeing people play the game for the first time, and one of the things that I noticed was that people were defaulting to the Ripper. I don't know if you've noticed that or anything
but I did.
Because here's the thing, like it kind of like keeps the enemies in a stun lock. Like, you know, if you just keep on it, and especially like the regular enemies, like the regular necromorphs. Yeah. And so I was watching this person play the game and he completely just disregarded the dismemberment English, Victor. The dismemberment aspect of fighting enemies. And he just kept using like the Ripper and the contact beam and just annihilating enemies, not even thinking anymore about ripping off a limb, throwing, you know, using environments to like dispatch enemies. They were just going at it with these guns. And for me, you know, because one of the biggest things about Dead Space was that whole system, right? And it's funny enough also too, you mentioned the peeling system too, where it's like you peel off the skin and then the limbs become that much easier to cut off, right? But I noticed that a lot of people were just using the energy beam gun and just blasting enemies and not thinking about nothing. I just felt like it was kind of interesting that they kind of designed the guns to be that way. Cause again, like I was saying in the beginning of this conversation, the plasma cutter felt weaker. So it forced me to use the other guns. But then I started to notice, I was like, wait a minute, this stuff is
really broken.
Yeah. So I it's just the design point of like kind of making it easier for newcomers, which again, I understand where they're coming from, but for me, I still was using my environments to the point where like I had a lot of ammo my first playthrough because like I wasn't doing that. But like for a new player, they might have used everything. You get what I'm saying with this whole point?
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah. These guns are like definitely they're kind of broken.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not complaining. I'm just it's something that I noticed, you know?
Yeah.
Like the brute, right? Like you know that like us as original players, you can, you know, sever his limbs or you can take them off. But like most people were just shooting at it, like with everything that they had, you know, to the point where it just like died. They didn't even know that you can take off his limbs.
Yeah, man. Like, I think it was probably like this whole like style of play of just being like, I'm shooting the gun, you know, it's like, I think it is a byproduct of like them fleshing out these weapons a little bit more. Cause now I believe that they're actually like mining equipment, you know,
I got
outside of the pulse rifle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe when I'm shooting the contact beam, I'm like, oh yeah, dude, this guy is like, he's mining rocks.
You know, like, yeah.
No rock will stand in his path with this gun in his hand, you know?
100%.
And I believe that with each and every of these newer, like refurbished weapons. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, it also makes them feel like I'm holding the power of God in my hand, you know, like carry me, please.
Nothing is stopping you. But you know, And I like that you brought up that point too, because they do feel good. They feel really good to use. And like you can hear the mechanics of the guns and what they were intended to be used for. It's awesome. And I also like that you found the guns instead of buying them at the store. I also noticed that too. 100%. Yeah. And they would play out the same too. But what'd you think overall, because you've played it multiple times already, what'd you think overall of the difficulty and also the ending of the game, because I know they changed that. So what'd you think about those things?
Okay, so we'll start with difficulty. So I played, my first playthrough was it was the hardest difficulty I could do. I think it was just straight up hard mode. So I played on hard mode, and I never really had a moment, I don't think I actually died. Oh no, I never mind. I fell into like something that like grinded me up. Yeah, it was really dumb. but difficulty-wise, I felt like for my first playthrough, you know, the average person might just pick normal just for, a different experience. But I usually just pick hard. So from my experience, I felt like it wasn't that challenging per se, but it was different enough that like it pushed me to interact with everything rather than just like only using my guns, you know. I was using telekinesis a lot, you know. I was picking things up in the room, throwing it at the necromorphs, taking the fans off of.
Yeah, yep.
Off the fence, you know, using those to sever limbs, using other necromorphs and stuff like that. It pushed me to like interact with all aspects of the game and ways of playing it, rather than me just being able to like, you know, I'm shooting the gun, you know.
That's it.
Exactly. You know, especially for example, the Twitchers. They're a staple enemy, you know, especially in the original game. Even though they're kind of like late game, they're just as dangerous as like an enhanced slasher because they hit you multiple times, super fast. And there was never really a clear way of like dealing with them to separate them from the original necromorphs in the original Dead Space. You just kind of shot their limbs, right? But now what I love is that they have that stasis module in their chest piece. And if you shoot it, it actually slows them down. That is so cool. Because it's like an extra point of, it's like an extra step to fighting something. Like putting the puzzle pieces together to, you know, defeating a boss like in a Zelda game, you know.
But it's just an enemy. Thank you.
Yeah. And I love how like the hint is right there in plain sight for you to see, to use if you figure it out and make things easier. But at the same time, you can still just shoot the gun.
Exactly. And you'll never know that. You'll just obliterate the enemy. Good. Very good point. Exactly. Very good point. Yep.
I think I love that about the game. So for me, I felt like the difficulty was average, but it was enhanced enough to the point where like, you could experiment with so many different ways of dealing with like an infinite number of situations that it just kept that novelty of like, wow, I feel like I'm in a survival game. Like, I feel like this is a proper survival game.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree with that. And then what do you think of the ending, the twist ending or whatever? Because they changed it from the original one. So what do you think of the ending in this one? Like,
okay, so the base ending was pretty interesting. Like the whole twist behind Nicole and then what was the doctor's name?
I forget her name.
Elizabeth. Yeah. Elizabeth. Yeah, that was her name. Elizabeth something. I don't remember. But yeah, like that whole twist, you know, the like complete focus on like that the marker is more than just this relic and that now it's we actually can see its effects in terms of like manipulation, you know, hallucination, these like total like situations that have presented themselves to Isaac and by proxy Liz as well that have been completely and 100% fabricated from the moment they started experiencing them.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. Mm-hmm. And for the ending in the base game, I was cool with it. The secret ending, however, was also very cool.
I thought it was very cool too.
I was down with it. Yeah, I was like, wow. And dialogue changed, you know, dialogue changed with Isaac, especially concerning talking about his crew and the marker. And it's just like a totally different perspective that didn't feel like it was out of place. It's like, dude, this is what it could have been.
Exactly.
And it's like, dude, that is so cool. Like, it didn't like groundbreakingly change anything, right? It just reaffirmed what we already knew.
Yes.
It played it out and played it out in a scenario where I could appreciate it even more than the original ending, where I was like, wow.
Yep.
That was so cool.
Somebody pointed out to me, I was watching a video of that ending. Obviously, spoiler alert, we're already deep in there. But it somehow connects to Dead Space 2 because he says the line, "I have something to build."
Yep.
And
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah, exactly. And so in part two, they actually do build one from his, like, I guess,
marker code in his brain.
Yeah. Yep. Which I thought was okay. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, That makes sense as to why that this could be the ending, or, you know, like a canon ending. But I thought that was cool. I thought that was really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I remember when I saw the ending, I was streaming on Discord with some of the guys, and like we got that ending and I just got quiet and I went, oh, come on. You can't tell me there's not going to be a second one. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just do this and be like, no, we're not doing number two.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, that's so cool.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny because one of the last questions, there's two more questions I want to ask you. That's definitely one of the last ones. But before we get to that, like, overall, your thoughts on the Dead Space remake, I would say that they're pretty positive. Now, this is kind of coming out of left field. I haven't played the game yet, but recently there was the release of the Callisto Protocol. Yeah. And it was I think it was the same director, you know, you can quote me if I'm wrong, that made the two games. So first off, what did you think of Callisto Protocol?
Okay. Zam. So I was incredibly, leading up to like its initial announcement, I was completely and totally enthralled in what Glenn Schofield was going to produce. Mm-hmm. You know, this game was supposed to represent his original vision for the Dead Space series prior to it going fully into EA's hands.
Right? Oh my God.
And I was like, dude, what the hell? This is going to be amazing. Like, there's no way they can fuck this up. Like, they have everybody that you could want on this game that was involved in the original Dead Space. I was like, dude, this is going to be so fire. This is going to be like a new generation of space horror, cosmic horror. I'm into that.
Yes.
You know, and then it was not that. At least for me, you know.
I know. So, that's the general consensus of a lot of people. I still haven't played the game yet, so I can't formulate my honest true opinion, but from what I've been seeing and reading, It's not good. Sad face.
Yeah. It was, you know, when I first started playing it, you know, because I played it like right on launch. Mm-hmm. I didn't let any of the performance issues bother me, you know, even though there were there. I didn't let it bother me. I didn't let it affect my, like, perception of the game. I just wanted to go into it for, like, captivating story. And I think what's so interesting is that it starts off pretty strong. And, you know, it throws you right into the thick of it with some, like, callbacks to, like, Dead Space 2. Kind of like when the Sprawl gets attacked, you're in the thick of it. You're seeing it happen. Like, it does a very good job of doing that. But I feel like the things that I as a player, or I as you know, someone who's experiencing this journey through Jacob, I felt like there were so many things that were lacking. Like, I never really knew who Jacob was. I couldn't get a grasp of him, or even, you know, Karen Fukuhara's character. I couldn't get a grasp of her either. I think I don't even remember her name. you know, I couldn't get a grasp of, like, oh, okay, this is what this guy is like. Like, oh, you know, like Isaac. Oh, Isaac is an average dude. He's an engineer. He's got some shit that he's going
right, you know, right, yeah. Some relatability.
Jacob, yeah, you know, Jacob, I felt like that wasn't there. He just felt more like a vessel that was being moved from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And I was watching some fragmented story come together rather than, like, piecing these cohesive, like, aspects together, like, you know, as I'm going through the journey, like, of, yeah, like, going to the Ishimura, you know, it was not the same for Prison on Callisto.
Is that what went wrong with the game, or was there so much more, and why did
I think there's more. Like, the narrative is just one problem of, like, a greater whole, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the narrative is very similar to Dead Space in certain aspects, especially when concerning the overarching, like, antagonistic force. But it's also very different in that the outbreak is not as fleshed out in Callisto as it is in Dead Space. Mm. And when you play it, you'll see that. You know, they give a very basic explanation of what's going on, and it sometimes does not make sense.
Yeah.
But then from a gameplay aspect as well, like, it's a more melee-centric kind of game, you know. That's something you'll see.
I've seen some gameplays of it.
And you know, that doesn't mean it has to be a bad thing, but it's the way that it's implemented in that, like, you'll be fighting, like, 3, 4, maybe even 5 enemies at a time. And when you get into a melee fight, you are not leaving that fight. You are in it. Like, and that fight can be, like, 3 dudes on top of you. That, like, you're not going anywhere, you know? and something about the melee, like, yeah, it felt good in the beginning when you first start playing. You're like, damn, y'all, I'm hitting them, you know?
Yeah, you feel the oomph,
you know, messing them up. But then you realize that it's like every fight plays out the exact same way.
Oh. And
there is no variety in the fights and no variety in the enemies. The only unique enemy that you meet, or the only unique enemies that you meet, are 2 different archetypes. And one introduces a mechanic that you don't have to interact with, and I just recommend you don't even interact with it, because you can just punch him, you know? And then the second enemy type is like a boss, and you fight him 4 times in a row, and it's the same enemy, you know? Like, you'll kill one of them, and then they're like, all right, cool, the same enemy again. All right, you kill this one, the same one again. Oh, you just killed that one? The same one again, you know? And it just felt like, damn, where are the different archetypes of this infection? Like, the necromorph, there are a lot of different
for sure
types of necromorph. You know, like, even though, yeah, the slasher is the most common, you're seeing spitters, you're seeing leapers, lurkers, brutes, exploders, dividers, you know, like, so many different, the guardians are stuck on the walls. Dude, I just be fighting, you know, Dark Corner McDougal number 4, you know, and all look the same. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know?
So for my overall consensus, it's just like, it seems like the game wasn't fleshed out enough in a lot of areas of the game.
And yeah, whereas, it's severely lacking polish.
Yeah. And whereas with the remake, they really went in on a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm going to play the Callisto Protocol. I'm going to wait for it to be on, like, dirt cheap sale, $20. I'm going to pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was going to buy it day one. I really, really was. But then what I was seeing bits and pieces of was, like, they were like, don't play this game. Overall, it's whack. Overall, it's this. I'm like, oh, fuck, but why? And I'm like, but I'm going to get it. And I'm like, but then it kind of changed my mind on it. I'm like, damn, I'm really about to spend $70 now, because games are $70 now, Was it 70 miles? Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the fast 70 beams. Oh, yeah.
On a game that I'm not going to enjoy, but so then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait on it. I gotta do some other stuff anyways, because I didn't need to be buying a new game anyways. But I haven't even finished God of War Ragnarok, but that's my own. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's my own thing. But yeah, so I'm definitely going to play the game. And this game, back to Dead Space Remake, just two more things out. Like, would you say this is the definitive version of Dead Space? Like, this this is the one? Or
yeah, what? I think that if you're a Dead Space veteran, or even if you're like a new player, I would still recommend that you play the original, because the original still holds up.
Oh, it does. It does.
It does. And it's still very good. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously there are things that in it that are like not that great, like, you know, zero gravity is a little lacking.
Yeah.
And, you know, some storylines seem a little not fleshed out, but it is very good. And I think that mm-hmm. for the Dead Space remake, it is like, there is a lot of, and this is funny coming from EA, there is a lot of like love and respect
yeah. for the
original source material in yep. this game.
Yeah.
So much so that like it feels just as good as the original, if not sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. most of the time better. Like mm-hmm. it feels very good. And there was never a moment that I had where I was like, ah, man, that's dumb. What the hell? You know, yeah.
Why did they do that? Why did they change that?
Yeah, like, why did they change that? Like, every change that was made made sense mm-hmm. and made for a more cohesive plot. There were more characters, Isaac speaking. Like, I was worried about, like, you know, a little bit, because I was like, oh, damn, he never spoke in the original. How was it going to sound? I hope he's not, like, popping one-liners every goddamn time, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, he had a one-liner or two.
Yeah, but, he did.
I didn't feel like... I didn't feel like it wasn't earned. You know, I was like, yeah. All right, yeah. No, I get it. Yeah,
I would say that too. I would say,
yeah. I'll say that, you know. Yeah. And I like that a lot. So I think for sure, no one's ever played Dead Space. You can still play the original. It's only $20 on Steam, you know, or you can.
Yeah, dirt cheap.
Pop out the PS3 if you still got it, you know, get it for like $10 somewhere. Play it. Yeah. But the remaster is really that good. Yeah. It is that good.
Yeah, I'm super, super happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, this brings me to my final question. Like, because we've had remakes and remasters for a couple years now. It's just a thing now.
Yeah.
Are you excited for future remakes? Are there any remakes that of your classic games that maybe you might want? You know, like...
Oh, dude, I'm so happy you asked me this question. Yeah. Because I have been dying for Jack and Daxter.
Bro, like, yo!
I love Jack and Daxter.
I'm gonna flip my whole table. Yo, dude. Yo.
Yeah, like, Naughty Dog, please.
Please.
Yo. Save my boy. Like,
yo, 100% facts, bro. It's funny that you mentioned that. I was recently watching like this whole retrospective of like the whole series, and I'm like, God damn, like, bring this boy back, bro. Like, this series was
free
so,
Jack, bro. Free Jack.
Yo, it was so good, bro. It was so, oh my god.
I think what, you know, since Jack and Daxter sort of laid the groundwork for Naughty Dog's expertise in storytelling. It was very approachable for me as a dumb kid, you know, to like pick it up and be like, wow, like, this is, I like stories. Like, this is cool. I like storytelling. I want more of this.
Yep,
you know?
Yeah.
And like the whole like Jack is Mar thing. Like, time travel.
Yo, can we do a whole podcast thing? Episode on this, bro? Like,
dude, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can only imagine. Because, like, yeah, the first game is a classic.
It is.
It is great.
Yeah.
The story is on the weaker end, you know, but it's a classic nonetheless. Mm-hmm. It's an adventure at its heart, mm-hmm. you know? And I could only imagine what a rebooted Jack and Daxter, like Precursor Legacy or even Jack 2, Jack 3, would look like. Totally from the ground, redone, you know,
everything. Reactive, everything. Give it to me. Give it to me.
You know? The only thing that I would say is, like, I'm going to miss the original actor for Samus because, you know, he passed away shortly after.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, you know, rest in peace to mm-hmm. him. His voice, mwah, iconic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Jack.
So I'm glad. But so do you think, because, you know, there's been a lot of remasters, remakes. I wouldn't, because, like, The Last of Us is a perfect example. The first one that comes to mind where it was like it was remastered, then quote unquote remade. And I didn't really feel like that was a remake. It was just an enhanced port. Some might argue that Dead Space did the same thing, but I feel like moving forward, this is a perfect example of what a remake should be.
Should be. Yeah.
Right?
I totally agree.
Yep. You know, and granted, there's been other remakes before this. Like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, Resident Evil 2, that game is near perfection, all right, as a remake. No, you know what I'm saying? So, but they got some groundwork here. They got some really good remakes that if you're going to make a remake, which funny enough, you've played Resident Evil 4, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Resident Evil 4 is coming out in a few weeks, you know, and that game is looking phenomenal. So they have good things. So, you know, we like, all right, this is how you make a remake, bro. So no one has no excuse as to why they can't remake something.
They set the bar real high.
Yeah.
And that's funny for a remake. Like, I was setting the bar high for a remake. Like, no, dude, like, you don't get it. You're like, they really, it's not even just a remake, dude. It's like almost a new game. Almost.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Man.
Bro.
Yeah. Like, love it.
Yo. Thank you so much today, man. This was an awesome conversation. I'm going to hit you up on that Jack and Daxter.
Absolutely, dude. I'm so down to get like in the bones of like Jack and Daxter and just talk about story, everything. I'm so down.
Yeah, I didn't even know you were into Jack and Daxter like that, man.
It was my first game on the PS2.
Oh, man. It was so good. It was so good. Oh, man. But, I just really appreciate your time today, man. And go get Dead Space. Play the original. Pay your ass to, you know, get this remake. It's perfection, right? I don't know if you have any last words on the game or anything like that, bro.
If you're having reservations about playing Dead Space, you should just you stop doing that.
Yeah,
you
should play the game. Just get it.
It's so good. Purchase. It's really that good.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, you know, as always, if you want to give people your information, your Twitch, stream, whatever, if you have any of that stuff, please.
Word. You guys can follow me at Lord Jocko on Twitter, or you can follow me on Twitch at Lord Jocko on Twitch.
All right, bro. You're here, man. Again, thank you so much. Guys, if you guys want to be a part of Infinite Lives and Games, the podcast, and it's also the extension Infinite Weekly, discussions about everything, you got stories to tell, please hit me up everywhere at Infinite Lives and Games across the whole social media landscape, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, except the Twitch, which is twitch.tv/chefinfinite. I've been your boy, Jake. Again, thank you so much. As always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.